Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, that's a wrap for our program, but the boys are up next. Messrs. Shadrick, Pacelli, and Prisco talking about the first game called offensively by Nathaniel Hackett. Talk about that as we look back. Hi, boys.
Hey, Mr. Frangie, good afternoon. What's up?
Hey, how'd Alabama do? I wasn't watching. They did okay?
They did all right. Yeah. They rallied. They won.
Can't score. They're bad offensively. How do you think they're bad offensively?
Really? Oh, really? Okay.
Scored 10 points. Tony's only scored 10 points.
Oh, I'll just say this about Alabama.
Leonard Fournette can't do a damn thing against them.
Well, you know what? It's amazing.
In 3 years.
When you play any team with a quarterback, you guys give about 40 points a game.
That's fine. We score 50.
Well, I'm not saying – no, you guys are good.
Say we like I'm there. I'm not there.
Right. You guys are good, but let's not make so much about – was that good – was that – Frank, my question about that game is this. Was it great defense or just pitiful quarterback and offensive play?
Yes.
Well, here's what I think. I think no matter what it was, whether we like it or not, JP's tie will be right there at the end because they're always right there at the end, Tony.
They're good.
How's that happen every year, by the way?
I will say this. I don't know, but I will say this, Pete. We were talking about this on our show. If it all holds, there's 1,000 games to be played, and everybody can be upset. But if it holds now, Washington, Michigan, Clemson, Bama, man, that's a nice Final Four. Those are four good – that's a lot of NFL guys in those games.
Washington will not be in that game.
Yeah, you're going to lose this week?
Yep.
You got something for them?
Oh, Trojans are rolling, baby. Ever since we made the change of quarterback, we have not lost.
Hey, Pete, now that my team stinks, how the Sun Devils? They stink too or they get better? I really don't know.
I want that guy fired.
We already boat raced them, Frank.
By the way, Brady Quinn, who I work with down here, is doing the Sun Devil game this week, and I tell him every week, I go, please, when you go sit down with the coach, with the AD, just tell him to get him out of there. Get him out of there.
While you're there. Tony, first review, your thoughts a day later of the Jaguars game in Kansas City.
Missed opportunities and a nice performance gone by the wayside.
Yeah, I think that says it.
Doesn't mean much in the big picture, how many numbers and how well you do certain things. If you turn it over and you lose, just doesn't matter.
What about Pete?
Well, they could take some solace in the fact that the worst quarterback on the field wasn't theirs this week. I mean, that they could take that because Nick Foles was dreadful. He is a terrible, terrible NFL quarterback. But I thought the defense played really well. He helped. And Bortles did some things at the end. But, boy, you got to hit those throws. You have to hit those throws. Mechanically, the touchdown pass to Robinson in the back of the end zone, that was like the one last week, Tony, that you talked about, where there was no windup. It was just boom. But then he goes back to wind up again. For the life of me, I can't figure it out. I thought Hackett did a nice job calling the game. I thought the runners ran the ball. I thought that was a bad call on the touchdown. I thought he scored, but hold on to the damn ball. I mean, just fall into the end zone. You get the touchdown, you go from there.
Yeah, Tony, I think you said it. Missed opportunities. I'll say this. And I'll leave it with you guys. I want to hear you weigh in on it. But I guess my thought is, if I'm a fan watching, apart from wins and losses, because there's not very many of those wins. I guess my thought is they looked like a decent NFL team yesterday. It looked like they blocked and tackled better than the opponent. Is that a one-time thing, or is that who they will be now, Tony? Don't you think that's kind of the question you're asking in the fan base, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know Sunday afternoon.
Me too.
Frank, with all the things that we've seen and we've talked about, I believe that's who they are. And I think we've said it. They're talented. They have talent. I thought Hackett called a great game. I thought Wash did a great job on defense. Guys made plays at times, but not at the right time sometimes along the way. They turned it over. But that's what they should have been doing all year. They shouldn't have waited to week 8 to do that. That's what they're capable of. Now we'll see if they can start playing like that consistently, because if they play like that consistently the last 8, they'll have a winning record in the last 8 games. If they don't, then it's going to be more of the same.
All right, we'll see if it heads there. It's Jaguars Monday. They'll talk all about it. It starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale. Jaguars Monday underway, recapping the 19-14 loss in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. Good offensive performance, good defensive performance, but couldn't hold on to the football. And the points off turnovers, well, that's the game right there, ball game, as Gus said today.
You know what that game reminded me of a little bit, Pete?
What was that?
96 in St. Louis.
No, when you guys had way more productive offense than that.
No, we had over 500 yards of offense.
Right.
They had 450, so it's not like it was night and day difference. We held the Rams to nothing. They held the Chiefs to nothing. We had the ball at the end of the game, didn't do anything with it. We had five turnovers. They had four turnovers. They had the ball at the end of the game, didn't do anything with it. I mean, because the utter dominance of that Jaguar team offensively, going up and down, the, you know, moving the field, 25 first downs. I mean, 200 yards rushing, you know, 250 passing. I mean, and to score 14 points, that's hard to do. That is hard to only score 14 with that much offensive production.
Well, the Hearns drop was brutal.
Yep.
By the way, I probably would have kicked the field goal there.
I would have too.
The fumble, awful. I mean, that was just a terrible play. So that's what? That's 10 points, bare minimum, maybe 14, right?
Yep, 14 probably. I mean you score and you're first and goal from the one.
Yeah. So, you know, did Marquise Lee step out?
Right close. On the edge.
Right on the line.
They didn't even hesitate to look for it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I was expecting at least a closer look on TV. I don't remember seeing that.
TV did not do it. Your CBS producers did not help us out much.
No, there was not a good look of that, absolutely.
From the angle they showed us, I thought he was would be out.
Now, there's a positive that you can take out of that game, by the way, and the last couple weeks, last month. Marquise Lee looks like a football player.
What are his numbers for the year, JP? Do you have that in front of you?
It's funny. He's
been the most productive receiver the last month of the season.
We were talking about this in the postgame show yesterday. It's kind of freaky how close the big three receivers are right now in statistics to each other. We'll get to you.
Hey, Hollywood, as we're looking up, can you run that back and show that picture again? On the website is Marquise Lee's long touchdown. Not touchdown, but where he – question is he step out of bounds or not, and I'm wondering Hollywood.
I looked at it again today, Tony. It looked like his right foot gets on the line, or his left foot gets on
the
line.
Yeah, right, I just saw it again. His left foot barely does touch it.
So Lee yesterday, 4 catches, 84 yards. For the season now, Marquise Lee, 34 catches, 442 yards. And Allen Robinson, 39 catches, 442 yards. Hearns, 31 catches, 443 yards.
They're all the yard.
It's clear now, though, to me that Lee is the two. Lee's the two receiver. It's Robinson and Lee, and then Hearns. That's what it looks like to me. And you watch the tape, Tony, and I'm sure the tape shows the same thing. I didn't watch the tape yet, but it did. The tapes I've watched the recent weeks, it looks like Lee is the two and Hearns is the three.
Marquise Lee is the most explosive offensive player on the field right now, of anyone. I'm not saying he's the number one receiver. He's the most explosive player on the field right now. Watching him on tape.
I would agree.
And the funny thing is, Pete, you know what the fan base wanted to do this offseason?
Get rid of him.
Cut him.
Yeah.
And he figured out some things in the offseason about staying healthy. He went back to his track coach, of all people, in the offseason.
Well, Marquise Lee, when he was at USC, would play football in the fall and run track in the spring.
Yeah.
Never had one hamstring issue.
Didn't even know what it was.
And so, possibly one thought is that he's a guy who needs more volume of running, and when he stays engaged in running and moving, his hamstrings stay tight. But when he was shut it down for a part of the year with no track, that's when the issue started up, tighten up the muscles and everything else. So that's the guy that has been the nicest – I don't want to even say surprise, but addition to this team from a production standpoint. And that's the guy that Dave Caldwell drafted in the second round. And he's still not what I remember watching him at SC his sophomore year.
He was a stud. Yeah.
But he's getting closer and closer. And if he becomes that, Pete, he might be a number one.
I like what I've seen from him. I really do. I mean, that's of all the things in the last couple weeks, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, that's the most, that has to be the most encouraging for the future moving forward. Because, look, Robinson is what he is. He just, you know, he's a big receiver. Doesn't run great, so he doesn't get a lot of separation in terms of running away from people, even though he did yesterday. But Marquise Lee, like you said, Tony, he's got the gear and the stuff that the explosiveness that the other guys don't have, and that's got to be encouraging moving forward.
What were your thoughts watching the game, Pete, from where you were? And I'm asking more from an offensive standpoint with the change made at offensive coordinator.
I liked it. I did. And you know me, I'm a pass guy, but I thought the way they ran the ball, it looked different to me. And you know, and I haven't watched the 22 yet, but just from on the TV, it looked different. It looked like it was – did they change some of their scheme a little bit in the run game, Tony? Did they do some things differently? It looked different.
Everything they had pretty much done, there was aspects of what they'd done in the past. I mean, they ran more outside zone than they had the last couple weeks. They had the zone read. They ran some power.
I hate the zone. I hate the zone read
okay,
with the quarterback.
That's fine. But I'm just telling you what they did. they did some cutback stuff. They pulled the guards a little bit more than they have on the front side. They ran stretch, almost an outside zone or outside play. And instead of just running zone concepts, they got a pin and a pull with the front side guard and sometimes the center as well. So they did some nice things. But I think what Hackett did a good job of was coordinating everything together, run and pass, some good play action stuff off of it, some different formations. I thought they did a good job of formationing Kansas City into some advantages for them. We saw some more bunch personnel. We hadn't seen a lot of that. Coming into the this game. So I really was impressed with what Hackett did and how he dictated the pace of the football game. And they dictated what they wanted to do to that Chiefs team.
Yeah.
And that's the 10th overall defense in the NFL. It's not like they're a bunch of – and they had all their guys.
Like,
I mean, they was healthy.
Chris Jones is a hell of a young rookie. You know, those other guys, the Howards and those guys, are good players in the down spot. Dee Ford's become a really good pass rusher. Johnson and the secondary and Berry and everything. Yeah, I mean it was a good job. And if Bortles hits one of the two deep balls, just one of the two, then you're thinking of that differently as well.
Well, you really got to hit both those. Those are guys when they're
But if he hits one of two, you're okay with it.
When they're that open, Pete, you need to hit them. If you do anything, you underthrow those because they're so open.
You know, on his run, the scramble, the big scramble.
Yeah, the last drive. Yeah,
if you go back and watch that play, he'll get a big positive for that play, but he's got Mercedes Lewis wide open in the middle of the field. All he has to do is step up and throw the ball. And it's a great play because it's like one of those Russell Wilson plays, Tony, where he runs out of a pocket and then turns it into a 25-yard gain. So you can't ding him for it or ping him for it, but you look back on it, and you go back, and I think you might have watched the 22, but at least on the TV, it looked like Mercedes Lewis wide open in the middle of the field.
I don't remember – I remember that play and watching it again. I don't remember thinking anyone was wide open. That doesn't mean they weren't. Because sometimes when I watch it so quickly after a game, I already know what's coming, so I kind of gauge my eyes towards that on a big play to see how it developed. So maybe. But I thought it was a heck of a job using his feet, getting up there. Very frustrating, though. You know, you get to second and one because the next play is a slant to Julius Thomas. You get to second and one. And you end up not getting another yard over the next three downs, and you lose the ball game. So, really, you know, and there's some things that, you know, obviously the turnovers, we'll talk about that here in a second. But there are some decisions that, you know, you can look back. Do you go for three early on the fourth down? Now,
yes.
No one, I would have, Pete. Now, no one's saying that if the ball is complete. I mean, it wouldn't even be a topic of conversation today if they complete and they go down and score seven.
Well, but, I mean, for me it would have been.
It's early. It's early, you take the points.
You got to take your three. You got to take your three. It's just like the Eagles yesterday. They did the same thing. Didn't take three in two spots. And you got to take – particularly if you're on the road, you got to take the three. You know, there's no saying you would have made the field goal, but you got to try and take the three.
Sure. The other thing was a couple of – I think there was at least one other third and short that weren't able to convert. You got to clean that up after the Kelce debacle when he went crazy.
Oh,
we can talk about that. That was embarrassing for him. It was third and 42, I want to say. Or no, third and
34.
Third and 34.
Third and 34.
Outside of field goal range, I would have played more tight defense and try to keep points off the board there. Because if you do that, all you need is a touchdown and a field goal to win. So they played really soft just to keep them, but they allowed them back in the field goal range. I thought at the time, I was like, you know, I think you got to be more aggressive there. The chances of them converting third and 34 are really, really low, even if you're aggressive. They wanted to ensure it didn't happen, but I think I would have done that. Other than that,
Cody,
I thought.
I thought
it was a really clean, well called game.
I didn't like the zone read when they were driving at one point and he ran to the sideline. I didn't like that call at all. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bad call. Bad call. Did what about the?
Why was it a bad call, Pete? Because it didn't work, or you don't like the concept?
Well, because you got backs that have been pounding it in there, and you get an opportunity for the quarterback to pull it out and run it to the sideline. It was a dumb call. I didn't like it.
If the defense would have been the look, he could have given it to him. It wasn't like it was called quarterback run. It was zone read.
I just don't like it. You've been pounding them on the run game, so pound them. If you're going to go for it that way. Then the other thing was
JB. We want to line up in the I formation JB, every time.
JB, is he just a curmudgeon? Is he just negative to be negative?
Yes.
No.
Just come out and say it, Pete.
I hate zone runs with the quarterback.
Pete, just come out and say it. You hate the Jaguars.
No. You do. Oh, wait. No, you don't. You're a fan.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, what about the last play? It looked like nobody was open on the TV tape. Is
there
that true?
Was not anyone open.
Everybody was held.
Some holding going on.
Yeah.
Brian Walters' arm was being pinned to his side by, I think it was Steven Nelson.
The nickel corner.
Steven Nelson.
Yeah. Who played good, by the way.
Yeah, he played good, but, I mean, and there, you can't expect to get those calls in fourth and one. You got to win. But it was by the letter of the law, they should have thrown a flag there. He was holding on to him as he's trying to run across.
Are you okay with that call on fourth and one?
From what standpoint?
Would you rather run the ball in that situation?
No, but remember they got backed up. It was fourth and it ended up being fourth and 2.5 because they lost yardage on third and one.
Yep.
Yeah, Poe on that play, Tony. And I didn't see I saw the TV, but it looks like they tried. Like the guard came off, or who was it, came off his double too soon and allowed Poe to come across the face and the guy didn't get down on him.
I think Omame could have stayed a little bit longer, but it was bad footwork by Beecham. He stepped underneath himself, never gave himself a chance.
The tackles looked like they had rough go of it yesterday.
If he had good footwork, he ties him up enough, I think, where he can get backside and maybe get the first down. Maybe. Because AJ missed his block on the front side.
Hey, guys, let's take our first time out. We'll come back and break down these turnovers for the Jags yesterday. A little more into the run game. Chris Ivory with a big
day. Break it down. Let's break it down.
We're going to break it down tonight, even though the Jags
lost. I can't
wait
for PFF, too. They'll probably give them all minus. Great job, guys. Great job.
That's coming up a little bit later. Join head coach Gus Bradley at the 7th annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a one-mile fun run. That's November 19th at Everbank Field. Participants finish inside the stadium and appear on the world's largest video boards. The run benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their full potential. Visit McKenziesRun.org to register. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Give credit to Nathaniel and the offensive staff putting together a plan. I thought they had some runs that they felt like would be good. I think there was some new runs or style of runs, maybe not the blocking, but just the deception in the backfield. I think there was a strong conviction up front. The offensive line did a good job, and yet there's still a lot that is out there, a lot more opportunities.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today, his day after press conference here at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville at the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Yes.
Pete Prisco is down in Fort Lauderdale at the CBS Sports Studios.
Which I like him down there. It's much better.
Do you? I disagree with that. I like Pete in person here.
Well, he's national. He's international.
Oh, that's right. He's an international celebrity.
World Wide Web. TV shows, radio shows,
podcasts.
Yeah, we are too. We are right now, actually. We're on Jaguars.
We're worldwide, but he's worldwide, worldwide.
International man of mystery.
Yes.
So, the run game, we've talked a little bit about it. Ivory, 205 yards rushing. The last time the Jags had over 200 yards in a game on the ground, Tony, can you name it?
Indianapolis Colts.
No. December 12th, 2010 against Oakland.
Wow.
How about that? 234 yards that day for the Jags. It's been a while.
It was Maurice Jones-Drew heyday.
Yes, it was.
I thought, listen, they did very good all over the across the board. They ran more decisive.
Yeah, is it something with Ivory? That looks like the most decisive he's been.
He was decisive, but there was also some holes for him to be decisive with. Like I said, I thought Hackett and Marone and the rest of that staff did a great job of designing the run, scheming the run, taking advantage, attacking, you know, attacking the weak side, and then as they made adjustments, going back to the other side, setting up some pass looks. I thought it was just very good overall.
Okay, so is it as simple as saying that it was Olsen's fault then?
I'm not ready to – let's not point the blame right now, and let's not anoint anyone as geniuses after one game.
No, but it looked different. It looked better. It looked crisper.
It looked more coordinated.
Yes. Well, I mean, so
isn't
that the job of the coordinator?
So ultimately that is on the coordinator, but I also – it's never just the coordinator. He has a staff that's supposed to work together. So I put – you know, if the coordinator fails, you as a position coach fail. In my opinion, you all have a little bit of blame to take. So, and with the success of the coordinator, that means the assistants, the position coaches succeed. So you're always working together, Pete. It's always a group effort. But obviously, the leadership and what Hackett wanted to do and the way he implemented it was more effective than they've been any time this year.
It looks. This is with Ivory. He looks to be a guy that, if there's penetration, you could forget about it. But once he gets going, you know, in other words, like when – and I'll use Fred Taylor because you played with him, you blocked for him, you know him. But when Fred would get penetration, Fred could put his foot in the ground and pop it and go to the other side.
Fred had a jump cut. Chris Ivory does not.
Correct. So it looked like they didn't get as much penetration, and once Chris Ivory got rolling – then that's where he gets at his best, when he's got that power that can come out, and it's hard to take him down with one-arm tackles and stuff like that.
If you let Chris Ivory get into the line of scrimmage with some momentum, he's a very good back. But I agree with Pete. I don't think he's a great change of direction. He's not a make-and-miss back.
He's not a guy that if you're a member of the secondary one-on-one, I don't think you want to see that guy
go
coming
ask,
at you.
Go ask Ron Parker as he about got decapitated down the sideline.
42-yard run yesterday.
It was a good day. I mean, they ran. I mean, up front they blocked well. It was clean. Out of all the run plays, I thought I saw possibly one assignment error on a guy going to the next level. But overall, very at least that I could recognize, no mental errors, which I can't say that previous to this game. So it's the players were more focused. You know, sometimes when you make a change like that at the top, it gets, you know, all of a sudden, and with the message, the head coach came in and said, listen, let's go. And get a little focused. Now, does that carry over? That's when it becomes an individual's job to say, what we did last week, I need to repeat. And it starts with the individual, then it goes to the position group, then it goes to the entire offense. But it's not just going to happen because you did it once. Good players, good teams do it week in and week out. They're consistent. I think I said this on the show, you know, Mike Mays, the offensive line coach, said. He said, listen, either be good all the time or bad all the time. But this blankety-blank up and down, I don't know what I'm dealing with. I can't handle that. And he didn't say blankety-blank,
right,
just for the record.
Okay.
But.
No, and you could hear him clear across the practice field saying it all, too.
He had potty language sometimes.
Yeah.
You kidding me? That was like every other word out of his mouth.
Well, I was trying to be respectful, Pete.
We'll come back, guys, and go through these turnovers and talk Jags defense. What a day they had yesterday in backed-up situations.
It was very sound, JP. Very sound.
A sound, solid day for the Jags defense. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand-new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Stay strong, stay determined, and realize that we have to find a way to continue on, fix these mistakes, protect the ball more, force turnovers on defense, so that we can start winning. Because you and I don't like talking about this. The fans don't want to see this. And as a team, we've had enough of this. You know, we've had enough of this. So we need to be able to find a way to make these games go our way.
That's Paul Posluszny, defensive captain in the locker room at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday after the Jags fell to the Chiefs 19-14. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. What did you say? Sound, Pete? Sound?
Yeah, it was a good, sound defensive effort. It wasn't flashy. It wasn't turnovers. It wasn't takeaways. It wasn't tons of sacks. It was just a good, sound, fundamental defensive game. That's what it looked like to me.
Well, it's been 3 years since they got a turnover.
That's a little.
They should have had one in the middle of the field, right? They collided with each other.
The Bad News Bears showed up in the middle of the field. What were the outfielders' names in the Bad News Bears? You had the one center fielder who was really good. What was his name?
Yeah, I forget.
Carey. What was his name? Carey. But you had a couple guys that were just, they'd run into each other right here. We're looking at it now on the website.
Yeah, on Jaguars.com video.
I mean, yep.
Got to have that.
I mean, come on.
It almost looked like, though, he was dropping it before he even got hit, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Hollywood, stop playing these turnovers. We do not want to see these. Turn them off.
We'll get to those coming up.
I don't do it very often. I usually just listen. But I went to the post-game head coach's press conference.
Oh, really? Nice. Why don't you ever do it?
I don't know. It was just right there this time.
Convenient for you.
It was right next to
so
the
you
locker
went to
room.
You went to listen to Andy Reid, huh?
No, I listened to the head coach, ours.
Oh, I thought you said you went to the visitors' locker.
No, no. Yeah, we were visitors. Okay. Dummy.
I mean the home team locker room,
no.
Man. I'm sorry.
And so I just went to listen to Gus. And I've heard him, but I watched. It was as frustrated.
Oh, yeah. Short answers. Short. One word, two words.
Yeah. Leaning toward Belichick-esque of.
We're on to Houston.
Like, he was done. Mm-hmm. Like.
Really?
Oh. Not happy. They'd ask questions. He's like, listen, it's about.
Turnovers. We lost.
Turned them over, we lost. Are you? I mean, he would ask. It was great because the questions go. He goes, "Yep, yep." That was it. So it was frustration. Not good enough. Got to win. I mean, he didn't say got to win, but he was. I think that hurt this team and staff as much as any game has hurt this year.
They did everything right,
except for hold on.
Except for hold on to the football. Everything else was right.
And you know what else you could see? You could see the emotion from Gus when the call.
Oh, he was hot.
He was.
I think this, and I told this to somebody, and nobody wants to hear this. So
you're going to say it anyway.
I'll say it because I usually say what is true that no one wants to hear. Everyone is tired of losing, including Gus and the players and the fans and me and everybody.
Me too.
And so nobody wants to hear about moral victories or all over Twitter and, oh, you know, this stuff. And, you know, they beat the lowly, you know, a beat-up Chiefs team. Well, they didn't move the ball against a beat-up Chiefs defense. That was all their starters. If you can get by and step back, and I hope this team does it, and can look at that tape and not shake your head and say, oh, no big deal, we lost, but say – we lost that game, but now let's build on what we did. Because my fear is if you lose, you just go, oh, here we go again, and get down and get, you know, discouraged. That sucks the emotion and the life and the spirit out of a team. But if they can – because I watched that game, and I was so mad. I was on the plane. John Osher's next to me, showing him stuff, screaming at the iPad. But then afterwards, I stepped back after watching it, and studying it and digesting it and talking to people. And I said, okay, I'm tired of losing and I don't have that much invested compared to obviously the players and the coaches. We don't. I mean, we have something invested. We love this franchise, but we're not invested like them. But I said, if they can look at this and the staff can look at this and say, we're close. And the message can be, guys, that's not good enough because of the turnovers and not taking advantage of plays when they're there. But don't just throw it in the garbage. Let's take that effort. Let's take that emotion. Let's take that execution as far as assignment, good football. Coaches, let's take that plan and build on it, because if we continue to do that and clean it up around the edges, they have 8 games left. I'm not going to say that's a secret. Gus Bradley has 8 games left to prove that he deserves to come back as head coach.
Well,
8 games.
He'd have to win every. He'd have to win every one of them.
No, he does not. I don't think this is. I'm not the owner, but
what's the record right now? It's
2-6.
So if he got the 9,
you get to 8. If you go to 8-8 in this offense,
no.
Can I finish before you just start? No, Pete.
No, I just said no.
If you go 6-2 in this offense, and I'm not listen. The fans listening going, that's stupid. We're not going to go 6-2. I have no argument right now to say that anything we've seen up to this that they're going to go 6-2.
You guys were 3-6, right?
Everyone gets tired of talking about 96. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm just saying.
You just keep on saying. I think you got to go 6-2, Pete, and this is why. Because if you go 6-2 down the stretch and the offense continues to grow and improve and good defense and they're doing what they're going to do, you're not going to go blow this thing up being 8-8, finishing strong with the new offensive coordinator who has success and you're moving the ball and doing good things offensively and bring in a fourth offensive coordinator and offensive staff for a young quarterback. I just don't think you do that.
I would tend to disagree with you.
Okay, that's fine. And you can. I'm not saying – by the way, Shad Khan might disagree with me too. And Dave Caldwell might disagree with me as well.
I think he would.
Would 8-8 win the division?
It very well could.
Now that's another story. As stupid as that sounds, Tony – if 8-8 wins a division and you get in the postseason, then it's a different story. But if 8-8 gets you sitting at home, then I think the change is coming.
Okay. And I'm not saying.
Forget about 6-2 down the stretch. You can forget that.
I don't think that's what you think as a head coach. I don't think that's what you think as players. You don't worry about that. You got to go figure out a way to beat Houston. But the message I hope they got, and I hope that they are in that locker room more than anything, because I think the coaching staff is here after they've seen and studying. I hope the players are like, guys, I hope every one of them look around at each other and saying, number one, that's not even our best, and look what we did. We're better than 6-2. This isn't acceptable, and we need to change it. We need to take what we did last week, clean it up, and play better football and go beat the Houston Texans.
You're throwing out the fact that Nick Foles played quarterback. He's dreadful.
I'm talking more offensively, Pete, than anything.
Okay. All right.
Defensively, they played good football for the better part of this year. They were not just without Nick Foles, Pete. They're without Jeremy Maclin as well. And in the fourth quarter,
and the running backs, right, the whole thing. Offensive line was
Spencer Ware, Shakondrick West. They already kind of share time.
Spencer Ware had taken over as the guy.
I know, but I'm saying the quarterback and the number one receiver and then your tight end, who's your really biggest threat offensively, being out in the fourth quarter, I'm not making any statements that this was a great offense and they had all their top guys. But defensively, that's the guys. Those are the guys they play with. Those are the guys they're going to try to win the division with and go to the Super Bowl with.
Except for Justin Houston.
Well, he hasn't been there all year, Pete.
I know, but when he gets back.
We'll see what he's like after his ACL, too.
Well, no matter who's on offense, when the average starting field position is the Kansas City 40 for the whole day and they only get 19 points out of that.
Oh, it's a great job.
It's a great day. Of the 5 scoring drives, the average starting field position was the Jacksonville 32-yard line.
Yeah, it's not good.
4 field goals out of that. That's big time.
Four field goals, one touchdown.
That defense, like I said, that defense did a nice job. Tony, you know, it's interesting you talk about 6-2. Which is just crazy talk.
You realize I'm not saying I'm predicting they're going to go 6-2.
I know, but here's it. You want to throw crazy talk on top of crazy talk? If they did win this week, they're only 2 games out of first place in the division.
Yep, that's right.
But I don't.
The 2-1 division record.
This team hasn't earned the right to talk that way yet.
No, heck no.
Although you realize last year
it was better Sunday.
You realize last year the Kansas City Chiefs were 1-5 and ended up 11-5?
They got hot.
Or was it 1-6 and 10-6? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And I don't want to talk like that. I'm talking more of a mentality. The fans, I mean, they're tired of thinking that way and hoping. I get it. I mean, you're a fan, keep on fighting. Hold on to the hope. I mean, we're sitting there with you. We're believing the best. My point is, Pete, I'm hoping in that locker room, they look at that and that lights a little bit of a fire saying, wait a second, that this is just the tip of the iceberg of how we're capable of playing as an offense.
You know, Tony, I will say this, though, about your 6-2. Just mentioned.
Go look at the record.
The schedule. The other thing is, Minnesota and Denver, two teams that look like they were –
they're not world beaters at all.
They're not that good anymore.
And so, what the Broncos aren't very good at
– but Detroit's better, though, than what you expected
it is.
Them to be.
You know what Denver's not good at, Pete? I saw them last night on Sunday Night Football, and I did the game the week before against the Chargers. The Denver Broncos
–
well, forget offensively. I'm talking about this great defense. Tell me the last great defense who couldn't stop the run. Because they can't stop the run right now.
They got destroyed last night on the run game.
And they gave it up against San Diego as well, who's not a great run team.
Yeah, the nose tackle's not very good.
And not having Malik, another big body in there, hurts them. Because Jared Crick is not Malik Jackson.
No, certainly not.
So my point is saying that.
But that schedule has gotten – the schedule's gotten much more favorable looking than what it was. But
and the Minnesota Vikings offensive line cannot block Pete Briscoe.
No, they were better yesterday, but they still aren't very good. But Detroit's better than what you thought they would be.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So you
listen, every Pete, when you're 2-6, everyone on your schedule is better than you.
Right. No, better than you thought they would be.
No, but everyone's better than you. Until you start winning, you have no right to talk about who you're going to beat, who you're better than. You're not better than anybody. Go earn that. And the way you earn that is you go out and beat the you-know-what out of the Houston Texans. And I got some news about Houston.
Oh.
Some big breaking news.
Oh, really?
That has happened here in the studio.
Really?
With our producer and myself.
Wow.
It will change how you view this game.
This is intriguing.
What is that all about?
That's telling you, Pete. You're going to want to hear this.
Pete, this is what we call in the business a tease.
A tease.
And we will hear about it on the other side. We'll also get to the injury report. PFF grades coming up and your calls in the second hour tonight. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name. Is it still new? The Game Day Express.
New name, same game.
The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags.
I like mine better, by
host
the
Houston Texans. I went with it.
Yeah, new name, same game, baby. Let's roll.
Let's roll.
Roll on the bus.
Roll on the bus
roll
to Everbank
Field. Game
Day.
Come watch the Texans get it handed to them.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Daniel had a great game. I mean, to run for 200 yards and throw for 200 and whatever, I thought it was awesome. You know, if you look at the stat sheet, minus the turnovers, there's no way you say Kansas City won. But unfortunately, that's part of the game, and we got to find ways to be better with the ball.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, in the locker room at Arrowhead yesterday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Briscoe. PFF grades coming up next segment. And then we'll get some phone calls.
You love that, don't you, Tony? You can't wait.
Hate it. Do we want to hear the breaking news?
Is it time?
Yes.
We'll get to the injury report as well coming up, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I walk into the studio today, and the highly esteemed producer of the show, Joe Fortunato.
We've heard of him.
He's been here forever.
Forever. Father Time, we call
him. I think he was part of the people who laid the first brick of this great stadium. Yeah. And his frustration level, I'm going to tell you, he does the game day up in the booth, and he's probably had some choice words for some people. And it's not
mostly you.
Mostly me. Some foul language, which his wife Linda does not approve of.
Yeah.
And a little bit negative at times. And I'm trying to pick him up.
Thanks, pal.
But he's been negative. So I didn't know what to expect when I came in here today.
Okay.
And, every week I kind of talk. Some weeks I lock the game. It's a guaranteed victory.
It's the Boselli lock of the week.
I didn't lock last week. I didn't lock the week before.
You locked the week before that, though.
We
won.
Yeah. I know. And I walked in here today, and Joe Fortunato said, I guarantee you we are beating the Houston Texans.
Joe said this.
Joe said this.
Of all people.
It shocked me. He's negative the most negative person I know.
Count on it.
He said, count on it. He said, guarantee it. And I said,
look
Joe.
At you, Joe.
I said, Joe, will you lock it? And he goes, lock it. So for the first time in the history of the show, because I'm ready to announce, it's going to be a double lock.
A double lock.
Double lock. Guaranteed victory.
Double lock. Over the division-leading Houston Texans.
Double lock it. Not just a lock, a double lock.
Hey, Pete, you want to make that a triple lock?
No.
Come on, Peter.
But I do think they have a good. They have a chance. I will say
so
that.
You're saying there's a chance?
I think they're going to be close. Well, I'm not going out on a limb and saying lock.
Lock.
Every
not?
Time you say lock, every time Tony says lock, it goes in the toilet.
No, whoa. Last lock, we won. Actually, the last two locks, I locked the London game and I locked the Chicago game. It was the only two games I've locked all year.
Why didn't you lock the last two then?
I wasn't feeling it. No. I picked us to beat the Raiders, but it wasn't a lock. There's
what's
a difference.
The,
there's
yeah, what's the difference?
There's degrees of confidence I have. When I say lock, it's done. Bank it. And the double lock has never been defeated in the history of locks.
I don't think it's ever been attempted.
That too.
So.
They're going to win.
There you have it.
We'll break that game down later. Let's do some
people
injuries.
Were waiting just for that, and that they got it.
Yeah, they got
it. Double lock. Here's the
you
injury,
heard it here first.
Injury
if
report.
If you see it in the Times Union tomorrow, you can say I heard it on the radio before they ever reported it. It will probably be news.
Because that's what happens on radio. This is timely news.
Yes. Check the website.
A couple concussions to discuss. Alan Hurns is in the concussion protocol. Well, he was rolled up from behind early in the game, came back in, and then not long after that.
I think he got the concussion when he hit his head on the turf.
That's correct.
On the in route.
Brian Walters also in the concussion protocol. He was cleared to go back in the game, and then after the game had symptoms again. He's in the protocol now, so two receivers down right now.
It's just so different. And it's the right way to do it, but it's so different. The whole protocol, there was no protocol. It was like, if you got through the game.
Yeah, can you read these fingers, right?
And if you weren't, like, throwing up, vomiting, and passing out, or, you know, excruciating headache. I mean, you just went home.
This, Tony, is
yeah,
the 21st century.
No, I said it's good, Pete. I'm not saying, I'm just, every time I hear it, it's just so different to me. You know, because you hear, like, sometimes you hear about guys coming back and showing symptoms the next day.
Yep.
So Tony, when you were in high school, because you played high school a while ago, I played high school a long time ago, but didn't, if you got hit in the head, didn't they stick something underneath your nose and say, go back in?
I remember. I think I had two concussions in high school. One, I just hit the ground with my head like three times in a row and was hitting people, and I had the worst headache I've ever, like, I couldn't even like open my eyes. And I remember my coach was like, you're not going in? And I went back in trying to play, and I was hitting people, and my literally would take me to my knees almost. My head hurt so bad. And I couldn't finish. I mean, I just couldn't. I mean, I was in tears and because I felt just terrible. It was a big game. And then
– you were crying?
Oh, I was so upset. And then my senior year, I think I got a concussion. I played the whole game, and I got back to the locker room, and I couldn't remember my combination for the life of me. They're like, come on. I'm like – Coach, I couldn't get in my keys. I couldn't get anything. I had to come cut the lock off. I just, like, it was erased from my memory.
Wait, let's go back a second. You were crying.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to. You buried the lead.
Well, I was a junior in high school. I was crying because my head hurt so bad, and I was so upset. It was for the district championship, and I couldn't go back in.
No crying in football this season.
No, I did. I'm an emotional person. I'm an emotional person. But now it's so different. I mean, coaching high school football, we've had a couple kids get concussions this year, and there is a baseline test. You have to pass the test. And then once the kid passes the test, it's a four-day process he has to go through before he can come back on the field.
I think it's fantastic that they're doing that, by the way.
I do, too.
I really do. And I think it's better that they do that kind of thing all the way through than have everybody pounded on the game of football for how bad it is.
I agree.
You know,
couple other injuries. We'll go to break. We've got the PFF grades coming up. Miles Jack, left hip flexor sprain. Jared Odrick, leg injury. They'll update his status on Wednesday. Denard Robinson, a back strain. Played through it. And Blake Bortles had stitches on his chin. He will not be on the injury report.
Can't hurt him.
No, made of steel. We're back in a moment. PFF Grades, your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Get tickets for Sunday's game against the Texans. It's the annual Salute to Service game here at Everbank Field. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.